Let us pray. O God, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, comforter in every need, bestow upon us the heavenly grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Shine his truth upon us now and always, that we may truly know him aright as our Redeemer, our Brother, our King. Hear us for the sake of your most holy name. Amen. We hear the epistle lesson appointed for the great festival of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave us the promise of the Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was a student here at Bethany, I was studying in one of the classrooms with a friend of mine. And this friend was taking one of the sociology courses. I did not have that class. And this friend was relating to me all the various sociological statistics about crime. How many thousands upon thousands of crimes are committed each and every day. So much so, as you probably have heard on occasion, that they put it in terms of such and such crime, let's say a robbery happens every 3 seconds in America. Consider what that means. Right now, probably, most likely, there's a robbery taking place. Most likely right now, there's a whole host of horrible things that are going on, things that are terrible to think about and consider. We wouldn't even want to speak them. We forget sometimes, noting the evil that is in the world, the wonderful things that take place, perhaps not as often, but still as regular and as certain and sure. On that day called Pentecost, which we now call the first Christian Pentecost, yes, undoubtedly, there were many crimes taking place across this whole wide world. And probably no one even hardly noted, except for the multitude that was there in that one city in Jerusalem, this very interesting scene and the marvelous events that took place there. Hardly anyone in the world would have put it on to their front page newspaper or spread the word. Did you hear about what happened in Jerusalem? But it still happened nonetheless. And so it is from then until now and on until the end of the age. The marvelous, wonderful work of the Holy Spirit goes on. But there is confusion about what exactly that work is. What is the office and work of the Holy Spirit? Those among the realm of Christendom that have taken on the label Pentecostal, of course, say, well, the work of the Holy Spirit is to do exactly what takes place there on that first Pentecost. Namely, Christians need to be busy speaking in tongues. They are, of course, gravely mistaken about what they mean by that. But that still is the claim that's made. Perhaps others will say, well, it's not so much speaking in tongues that the Holy Spirit is trying to engender in people, but love and devotion to God and careful consideration of others. We need to think about others in the world, all these various cultures that are out there. We need to be bound as one together, as a unified Christian church. Is that the work of the Holy Spirit? The Spirit is not against speaking in tongues. The Spirit is not against unity, love, devotion. These are good things. But when we hear this account of a very special coming of the Holy Spirit, where should our thoughts turn? Our thoughts should turn to the words of Jesus Christ. This event happened because Jesus said it was going to happen. Not that every event he ever predicts is his cause or his doing. He has predicted certainly many evils in the world, and he is not the author of evil or sin by any means of the imagination. But Jesus told his disciples, this is what is going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Right before shortly before he ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples that they would speak in tongues. This event and those that are similar to them in the New Testament affirm and confirm the words of Jesus Christ. And it is his words and works which are ultimately always bound up together. That is what we need the most. For while it is neat to be able to speak in tongues, while it is wonderful to show love to each other, speaking in tongues will never cover your sins. Your love and devotion to God, to your neighbor, will never atone for the wrong that you have done. And your wrongs and my wrongs are real. They are as real as the nose on our face, the books that we take to class, the people that we meet in our pews and shake hands with every Sunday. Our sins are more real than all those. And they require a real Savior. What took place here affirms the words of Jesus, and so all of what he has taught is affirmed. He did not just promise a special coming of the Holy Spirit. He promised his own death and resurrection. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of the Gentiles, and they will put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again. These are the words and works of Jesus. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are the words and works of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit's work to point you to those. For there is no other solution to your sin, your wrongdoing. There is no other forgiveness to be found except through Him who has died and risen and ascended and indeed has sent the Holy Spirit. So when you go about your daily life, when you see the problems that are around you and in you, do not be overcome by them. Do not sink into grief, despair. Do not be troubled, for there is one whom the Holy Spirit preaches and leads you to, who is the great victor and champion over all these. He is Jesus Christ. It is His wonderful works that those people spoke of on that great and glorious day. How often those few little words are looked over. Attention is given to the tongues of fire, the sound of the wind, the speaking of the tongues. The multitudes that were there and that were amazed and were in great wonder. But what did those very people say? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Wonderful works of God. Not wonderful works of men. Not your good works. Not how wonderful the Holy Spirit can make a person you into. No, the wonderful works of God by which you are redeemed, saved, forgiven. The works and words of Jesus Christ. Receive those always. Receive His absolution and forgiveness. Receive it by faith. And indeed, you do receive the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, even forevermore. Amen.